All right, so let's talk about day two of the three-day fat burn. In day two, remember, you have put yourself into ketoacidosis. You may still be feeling hungry, but you're probably, if you've made it to 24 hours, coming close to the place where your hunger is gone, especially if you've used some of the tricks and tools that I spoke with you about, going for a walk, drinking lots of water, brushing your teeth, that sort of thing. So, but it's 24 hours now, so you had supper, let's say at 6 o'clock. You have, what you've accomplished is you've quickly put yourself into ketosis, more quickly than had you started off with low carb. So you've already lost weight at this point, a significant amount. The amount will depend upon how much you weigh. If you're a 300-pound male, at this point, you will have lost more than if you're a 120-pound female. But, and you have lost some water weight, but you have also lost some fat. You've truly lost some fat at this point. So one of the criticisms of fasting is, yeah, when you start to eat again, you just binge and you regain whatever you lost. Not so. You will regain the water weight, but that fat is gone. And if you don't overeat, it's gone. It's not coming back. So part of the art of this three-day fat burn is not just what you're doing, but what and when you swap over to. So what you'll do now in day two is you swap over to a traditional sort of low-carb diet, as in what you would normally do if you read Atkins' New Diet Revolution or any of the low-carb plans. I will tell you how I do this to make it very easy, and because I need to be functioning. I'm a father of three sons. I'm a physician. I go to two different offices. I write. I have a website, and I have a social life. So I need my brain, and most people need a brain. So if you want to keep your brain, this is how you do it, and you keep your energy during a low carb and keep time. So it has to be easy enough that you can move about your day and not spend an hour or two preparing food. If you want to, that's good, but you need to have an option of being able to do this on the run. So here's the way I do low carb on the run. When I get to supper the next day, at that point I have a piece of meat. If I'm eating meat, if I'm going vegetarian, then I cook an omelet. But if I have a piece of meat about the size of the palm of my hand, and then I have a vegetable, usually asparagus or broccoli, then I have a salad without tomatoes, and I use apple cider vinegar or some sort of fatty dressing without sugar in it, low-cal dressings, just a little bit. And that's my supper. Well, that's a pretty healthy supper. Vegetables, piece of meat, and a salad. That's a normal-sounding meal. But there's no carbohydrates. There are no drinks with carbohydrates. I have unsweet tea, or I have a herbal tea, or I have one of my fancy waters, which I drink all through this thing. All 3 days I'm doing that. That's a treat I allow myself. So think about it. You've gone 24 hours with no calories at all. To have a low-carb diet feels like a feast now. Where had you started with low-carb, you might feel restricted. But after 24 hours with no calories at all, day two, which was going to be low-carb, which I guess you've guessed, is going to feel like feasting to you. Now, here's something straight from the New England Journal that I want you to know before you start day two. When Atkins first came out with his books, of course, like most things that are new, most doctors thought he was crazy. But, of course, he wasn't. And it was only in the New England Journal in 2009 that finally, a really good study was done. And it took so long because there's no drug to sell. There's no drug company to pay for some huge study of food. Who's going to pay for it? The grocery store? So to do this study, that's why it took so long. But finally they did a study. And they compared three diets: low fat, low carb, and Mediterranean. The low fat and the Mediterranean, so three different diets. The low fat and the Mediterranean were both calorie restricted, so you could only eat a certain number of calories and you had to stop. The low carb diet, you could eat as much food as you wanted. You just couldn't have more than a certain amount of carbohydrates. It had to stay low carb. So here's the big, was a surprise to a lot of people. It would have been no surprise to Dr. Atkins had he been alive to read the research, which I wish he would have seen. But what they showed was the low carb group, they lost more weight, their cholesterol fell, their blood pressure fell, and their blood sugar fell more than the other two groups. Now think about that. The low-carb diet was the one that was allowed the most food. They could eat whenever they wanted, as much as they want. But they were not allowed to eat carbohydrates. So if you're going to change your diet, you have to go back on something if you want to lose weight. And my proposition is that whatever the diet, you're going to do better if you're always allowed as much as you want and you're only restricted in what it is you can have. And here's a way to visualize that. If I give you a diet that's low fat, or even if it's just like Weight Watchers, where you're counting points, but you can pretty much eat what you want as long as you stop when you get a certain number of points, which of course equates to a certain number of calories. And once you get those numbers of calories, you have to stop. That's like drag racing. You can go as far as you go. You can go as fast as you want to go, but the road ends out there. And whenever you get to the end, you have to stop. And that feels very restrictive. So I've known some people, they'll eat or just splurge in the morning and then have nothing else for the rest of the day. And others who will kind of drag it out and nibble all day long. But either way, you feel like you're fenced in, because once you get to that certain number of points or calories, you're at the end of the road. You got to turn off your race car and go hungry for the rest of the day. And that is restrictive. Well, that's what you're doing when you do caloric restriction, whether it's Mediterranean or low fat, as in this New England Journal article. So this is very important. So get this, because this is what's going to, it's the big difference that if you don't get it, you will not be successful, in my opinion, with any diet, not just this three-day fat burn. But this is a very important concept. And if you don't swallow it and understand it, you're going to sabotage yourself on this diet and every other diet you do. You have to change something, all right? If you don't change something, then you don't get a different result. So what are the things to change? You can change how much, or you can change what. Most diets try to change both. That's what they were doing in the low-fat diet. They were changing how much you could have and what you could have. That's horrible. Who wants to live like that? Same with the Mediterranean diet that was caloric restricted. What and how much? But in the low carb, you only changed what. You didn't change how much. And so that is the equivalent of not a dragster, but a race car on a circular track. And you can go as fast as you want all day long as you don't get off the track. So when you're doing low carb and when you're doing this three-day fat burn, even the first day I told you could have as much as you wanted of water and herbal teas. Now, admittedly, that's not something that's going to be completely satisfying to you all day long. But if you don't take advantage of having as much as you want of the things that are allowed, you're more likely to feel deprived. So I make a big deal out of having as much water and having good water and herbal teas during that point. And here's the point of, or during day one, and here's the point of day two. If you cheat and you eat more, if you eat more carbohydrates than what's allowed in a low carb diet, then you've run off the track. And even if you cheat a little bit and it pulls you out of ketosis, you've run off the track. You've crashed, all right? But as long as you stay on track, you can eat 24 hours a day. If you get hungry at 3 a.m., bedtime, morning, not only can you, I want you to eat every time you're hungry. So here's the minimum, not the maximum, the minimum. This is the way I do it. So supper time, I have a piece of steak or a ribeye or a piece of fish. I prefer ribeyes. It's my favorite cut of meat. It's got lots of fat in there. Tastes great. I have that with the broccoli, asparagus, and a salad. That's supper. Bedtime, I like a good cheese omelet with just a little bit of salsa on it. If you don't like omelets, you can have another piece of meat. By Atkin's book, I'm not going to try to reteach you low carb. It's been taught. I'm teaching you ways to get into the ketosis more quickly and how to get out of low carb, which is what we'll do on day 3, in a comfortable, healthy way and burn so much fat it's going to amaze you in a 3-day period. I'm not trying to teach you low carb. It's been done. So go buy Atkin's book, read it. And now you know how to do low carb. And do it. Do the induction phase in Dr. Atkin's low carb. Maybe one day I'll try to one-up him on that one. But right now, my attention lies in showing you a more powerful way to use it, especially now that it's been proven by the New England Journal to actually work. So go buy his book on low carb and do the induction phase during day 2 of this 3-day fat burn. I'm telling you my personal preferences, but if you buy his book, then you'll get lots more choices. But to stay on the move, I like the supper I just described to you. Bedtime is a nice cheese omelet. I usually make it with 2 or 3 eggs, and I like putting a little onion and bell pepper and maybe a little dash of fresh garlic or garlic salt on it, and that's delicious, with just enough salsa, a teaspoon of salsa or some hot sauce on top, with a good mineral water to drink. Then you go to bed. Wake up, breakfast is the same thing. Omelets, quick and easy to make. If you don't like making omelets, scramble them or boil your eggs. But don't be afraid to use oil. It actually helps you stay in ketosis. So throw the Pam out, get you some olive oil, and put that in your omelet pan and or where you're going to scramble your eggs, and that's breakfast. Now, here's the trick that helps me stay on the move during the day. After having that for breakfast, I just go ahead and get a couple of good Atkins bars and a couple of Atkins shakes pre-prepared. I throw them in a box with some ice, and I take that with me to work, and that is what I have every 2 hours or so while I'm working, seeing patients. Keeps my mind sharp. I do fine with that. You're not likely, if you really want to play it safe, then start this on Friday if you're off on the weekends. Have day 1 extend into Saturday and day 2 extend into Sunday, because you're going to come out of ketosis on day 3 and get your brain completely back. Some people still feel a little out of sorts during the day 2, which we're talking about now, when you're still doing low carb. Okay, so quick review. You do day 1 where you have 0 calories. You start day 2 at supper time on the second day. And now you go low carb. You have a piece of meat for supper with vegetables. You have an omelet for bedtime snack. You have an omelet for breakfast the next day. You have Atkins bars and you have Atkins shakes during the day. And then at supper time the next day, now you're starting day 3. Now here's your choice. I'm going to give you a little extra surprise here. I told you this was a 3-day fat burn. If I really want to be aggressive, I will stay in ketosis another day or 2. At this point, usually by the time you make it to the beginning of the 3rd day, you're really comfortably situated in the saddle of ketosis. Hunger's gone. Energy's good. The only downside of it, I've noticed, is that in ketosis, during the ketosis phase, your sex drive will drop, which is a little bit aggravating. Now, the good side of it is that when you come out of ketosis, it's after doing day of fasting and day of ketosis, and day you come out of ketosis, playing the way of the day goes, your sex drive is higher and higher as it was when you started. Your general hormones is what's wrong, and you've been in this quiet state. When you come out, you are going, if you're healthy and normally enjoy sex, you're going to want to have sex. So, there's kind of a downside, though, during day one and day two. It's usually not a time when your sex energy is what it normally would be. And you may still have, during day two, times when your thinking may be a little cloudy. You may want to be still. So plan on that, but it's not as likely to happen as it is in day one. All right, so let's talk about some of the problems and the ways to make day two easy. Again, with the hunger, use the same strategies that you used in day one. A walk and split. If you're normally a 2-mile-a-day person, consider splitting it up and having a mile in the morning and a mile in the afternoon so you get the benefit of the anorexia after the walk where you don't have an appetite for 30 minutes to an hour after both walks, so you get more appetite suppression or longer appetite suppression. You may still have an occasional headache, not as likely to happen in day one, but if you get the headache, Advil or Tylenol, make sure you're getting whatever normal amount of caffeine that you would get before you start the 3-day fat burn. And here's a little known secret about suppressing your appetite. If you take 200 milligrams of caffeine, which is not that much, 200 milligrams of caffeine with 20 milligrams of ephedra, which, as you know, used to be over-the-counter, and now you can get ephedra and some ephedra-like compounds very easily over-the-counter at your local pharmacy without a prescription. But those two combined have been proven to be as effective as prescription-strength phentermine or Adipex. So if for sure have at least as much caffeine as you would normally consume, if you want to make this easier, you can buy an over-the-counter appetite suppressant, and I will have some recommendations about that sort of thing on my website about what I think works the best. But what works is anything that's a stimulant of the sympathetic nervous system. Because when you're in fight or flight response, when you're having to run, if you're an animal from a tiger that's about to kill you, and you're an animal running for your life, it's kind of inconvenient to be hungry. So your body was designed so that when you're stimulated to be running or excited, that appetite gets shut off. And that's why phentermine and Adipex and caffeine and ephedra shut off your appetite. Of course, the downside is it can make you jittery and your heart race, and make sure that all this is checked out with your doctor. It can make your blood pressure go up, and of course, I have to say all that so the lawyers stay away, but it's also so that you will stay healthy. So if you have any of those problems, make sure you talk it over with your physician, but know that keep your caffeine intake the same, and you can make the appetite suppression better and this whole process a lot easier if you want to even go up on those compounds some, either with herbal teas, green tea, coffee, whatever it is that you like to consume. Also, be sure and maintain your water intake during ketosis. You're losing water like crazy, and also it, of course, helps with appetite suppression. This is a time when you, if you're training with weights or doing strength training, you will notice that your strength will be down. It's okay. It doesn't feel okay. It worries you when you're training and trying to get stronger and build muscle mass. But you're jacking up your growth hormone levels out the roof if you have a pituitary that's healthy. During this time, and of course, the rebound is you're going to be stronger when you start to eat again than had you not do this. Now, if you want to accentuate the growth hormone boost, You can use growth hormone secretagogues or compounds that cause the pituitary to release more growth hormone. I have one that I designed that combines with it a particular kind of root or coleus root that has been, will actually cause rats to be able to have sex even after they were castrated. So I call it FIRM, F-I-R-M. You can buy it at my website. And I think it's the best secretagogue on the market. The downside is that root tastes horrible to most people, so you have to mix it with something to make it not taste so bad. So, and during this part of the process, probably the best thing to mix it with is some sort of diet drink. You can also consume arginine or glutamine. Glutamine has, I think, probably the best growth hormone boosting amino acid. All these have to be taken on an empty stomach. So, but they suppress your appetite some and they boost your growth hormone level like crazy. So during the fasting part of this, during day one, if you take a scoop or two of glutamine two or three times during the day, and I'm talking about 4 grams, so if you're buying glutamine tablets, it's not going to work unless you take a bunch of them. So 4 grams of glutamine is 4,000 milligrams. You'd have to take 8 tablets three times a day, or 24 tablets. That's a bottle of tablets a day. So you buy it as a powder and you take a scoop. And again, my favorite brands are on my website, templerepair.com, and your printed material for this course takes you to the parts of the website that describe all this and where you can buy it. But that's the idea, is that when you take an amino acid, glutamine's in every hamburger you ever ate, but because all the other amino acids are there, your body just sees it as a protein meal. But if you take it on the empty stomach, if there are no other amino acids in the bloodstream, and it's just glutamine or ornithine or arginine, then your body thinks that it's supposed to release growth hormone. The pituitary sees it like growth hormone releasing peptide, which is released by the hypothalamus to tell the pituitary to release growth hormone. And of course, the reason you like growth hormone is it makes you think better, it makes your muscles stronger, and it makes your fat go away. It makes you want to have sex, it makes you less depressed, it lowers your cholesterol, and it makes your penis grow. So there's lots of good things about growth hormone. And you're making it by the buckets full when you're fasting, and you make even more of it if you use these supplements the way I'm describing to you. So on the fasting day, it's no big deal. You use it anytime you want during day one. On day two, what you do is when you feel hungry and it's time to eat, that's when you take the glutamine because you have an empty stomach. Then you take some water or any non-caloric beverage along with it. Then you wait about 15 minutes and have the low-carb meal. And by the end of day two, your growth hormone is going to be about as high as your body can possibly make it. You could rename this diet, instead of calling it the three-day fat burn, you could call it the three-day jack your growth hormone level as high as you possibly can diet. So that's what Jack LaLanne and Paul Bragg knew when they were not able to do blood tests, but they just knew that by doing short little fasts periodically, they could put muscle on people and not just cause them to lose fat. Of course, now when you go for a long time without eating, the growth hormone levels drop. So if you look at marathoners and you look at people with anorexia nervosa, their growth hormone levels fall to almost nothing because the body's thinking we're in starvation. We just have to turn all the thermostats down to where the body's completely conserving every calorie. So all the hormones get cut down. Women stop having a menstrual period because their pituitary glands essentially shuts almost off, and they quit making the hormone that causes their ovaries to cycle, luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone. In males, it starts to shut down, and they quit making as much sperm and as much testosterone, and they sort of go in this hibernation mode. So we don't want to do that. For this three-day burn, there is a case when you may want to go an extended longer than 3 days, but we're not talking about that here. All right, so Another question I get a lot is, what about vitamins? What supplements do you take? Should you take them during this 3-day fat burn or not? My idea is that you can almost have anything. I mean, you could eat small amounts of dirt out of the backyard and you'd be okay. And on the other hand, even good things in excess become bad things. For instance, vitamin D. We know now that eating small amounts of it, this is also recent, I think, dramatic, amazing data that's come out in the past couple of years, is now we know that vitamin D helps prolong life in ways other than preventing bone fracture. It's remarkable. It leads to better sex. It leads to less cancer. Just overall mortality seems to go down. And it's some, but ideal is somewhere in the 800 international units per day. If you jack it up to 2,000, 3,000, then you start to be in danger of creating, you're more likely to have kidney stones as a side effect, and the benefits do not go up. So even with good things, there's this peak where the benefits are best, and we're not sure where those are on a lot of different supplements. But having said that, I will tell you that I think that during this and during throughout your life, I think it's very good to supplement vitamin C. I think Linus Pauling was right that it is a good antioxidant and leads to better health. And it's not true that you're just making expensive urine. To me, that's like saying when you use mop water, you're just making expensive water. That vitamin C, of course, it goes out into your urine, but it's like the mop water. It's mopping up the free radicals in your body. That's the idea. If you use more mop water in your house, you're going to have a cleaner floor. You use more vitamin C, you're going to have fewer free radicals. Even though your urine may turn orange, it's okay. You're taking free radicals out. Linus Pauling was pretty dramatic with his recommendations at a time when people thought it was radical to take 200 milligrams of a supplement per day. He was saying taking 10 grams or more per day, or 10,000 milligrams a day. After reading and thinking about it for literally 30 years, I started taking vitamin C in high school after reading Linus Pauling and thought, you know, this guy is too smart. I'm going to listen to him. And so I started taking vitamin C in high school. But then I was considered radical for taking 250 milligrams a day. Now I take about 3,000 most days. And I would do that during days 2 and beyond. During day 1, vitamin C is sort of acidic, so I would avoid it on the true fast day. And that's what I was getting at. You may let your body rest from all vitamins on that day. Just relax. See, and if you have any vitamin, if you have any toxic buildup of vitamins, then that will help you take care of it. Vitamin A, I hardly ever take. I think the research is convincing that it may be toxic in some cases. Vitamin E, I do take about 400 to 800 international units a day. I like a good complex, a B complex, and B12 at about 1,000 to 3,000 micrograms per day. So that's about it as a basic regimen. Now, you walk into the health food store. Here's the trick and sort of the frustration. You walk into the health food store, and typical health food stores, shelves and shelves and shelves of bottles and pills and potions and powders. And the truth is, everything in there, almost everything in there, is good for you or somebody. But if you took everything in there, it cost a fortune and you'd probably fall over sick as a dog. So you have to have some discrimination about what's best for you and your body. And that's part of what a knowledgeable nutritionist or physician can help you with. But as a good basic regimen for everybody, that's what I recommend. C, B complex, a B12, E, and vitamin D. Now, still, you want to talk to your doctor about this, but during this 3-day fat burn, I would stop all your vitamins and start them back on day 2. All right, so that's covers day 2 of the 3-day fat burn. And if you have questions, of course, about any of this, email me. I'll have occasional teleseminars where I'll contact you because you've bought this, and hopefully you bought it. If it was given to you and you didn't buy it, it is copyrighted, but at least go and sign up for my mailing list. That way I can let you know when we're going to have a teleseminar, and I can answer questions and help coach you even more about this idea of the 3-day fat burn. And I think you get the idea of what we're doing now. We're putting your body through a metabolic workout. You went day one was complete caloric restriction, putting you into ketoacidosis. Day two, you're in ketosis, but now you're adding some carbohydrates and you're adding protein to save your muscle. You're jacking up your growth hormone levels like crazy. And now you can hang with that if you want for longer than one day and make this a 5-day or a 6-day. So if you want to go longer and stay in ketosis, you can. I recommend in the beginning, though, at least do several 3-day cycles. And just let yourself go ahead and come out of ketosis in the way I'm going to describe in day 3. And then if you have more weight to lose, just do it once a week. It's a great little routine. You'll see there's hardly any pain or discomfort, and just do it once a week until you reach your goal. You'll find yourself eating healthier on the other 4 days of the week because you've practiced this on those 3 days. All right, so I'll see you on day 3 on the next recording, and thanks for hanging with me so far.